Hi, everyone. Listen up. It's King Mitch. This episode is about another one of my favorite subjects, wisdom. The Bible tells us over and over to seek wisdom. It's the principal thing, right? It's better to get wisdom than gold, silver, rubies, or jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. So if you believe God's word, you want wisdom, right? You're dedicated to seeking wisdom. The word says to ask and you're asking. Seek and you're seeking. Knock and you're knocking. You spend every bit of available energy to seek God's wisdom. It's what drives you day in, day out, right? Wait, no? You don't? Why not? Let's explore that very question. Why aren't we seeking God's wisdom with everything we have?
So the big question is this. What does it mean to be a king in God's kingdom? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. I'm Mitch Edlund, lifelong entrepreneur, Christian business leader, and kingdom advancer. And I'm here to speak to the king that's inside of you. Each episode, you'll be posed with thought-provoking questions, open discussion, and occasionally special guests, all designed to take your thinking, believing, and life to a higher level. Your journey begins right here on the Awaken the King podcast. It's time to wake up, King.
Have you ever had the thought of coming across a treasure map or a map of a sunken ship filled with treasure? There have been lots of stories of treasures and sunken treasure ships over the years, for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. But there's been just enough of these treasures found to make it just possible enough that it really could happen, right? So let's say I came across a map, and it's a map of a hidden gold mine that was covered up and hidden in the late 1800s. And I need your help to find it. I need you to both physically help me and financially help me in order to make it happen. It's going to take a lot of money. So if you're even slightly interested, you're going to want to hear the story. The story of what makes me think this lost gold mine map is really real. You're going to want to know as many facts as you possibly can in order to make up your own mind if it's worth pursuing or not, right? Okay, so here's the story. I was visiting with an old friend of my father's in a retirement facility in Montana. And as we were visiting, I noticed an old man sitting by himself over in the corner. He looked depressed and lonely. I decided to go visit with him a little and see if I could bring a smile to his face. He lit up as I started to talk to him. I learned that he had not had a single visitor in over 5 years. His wife passed away years ago, and he didn't have any kids. He said every single person in his life has died, but for some reason, he just keeps on living. We became friends quickly, and I encouraged him to tell me the stories of his life. After an hour or so of talking, he said he had something he wanted me to have. He pulled this old, worn-out map from his pocket. It was a map showing a gold mine location high in the mountains not far from Virginia City, Montana. And it was dated 1890. Along with the map, he handed me two more pieces of paper. The first was a land deed, and the other was the original claim for the mine, complete with claim numbers and Montana's first date seal. Montana had just become a state at that time. He explained to me that his grandfather had originally found gold on that spot. And as they started to dig the underground mine, they found a vein of gold that was beyond what anyone could ever believe. It was 100 times greater than any vein that anyone had ever discovered up to that point in time. But at that time, so many miners were being murdered for their claims. And this was the biggest ever. He had to hide it. He covered it up and built a small shack over the top of it. He filed the claim in secret through a friend that was an attorney. Then he waited several years for the mining activity in that area to slow down, which would cause most of the roughest individuals to leave that area. But during that time, he got married and had a son. But when the boy was only 8 years old, his father died without ever having a chance to go back to the mine. The boy, this old man's father, was told about the mine and given the map and papers, but never believed it. He was just 8 years old. So every time he tried to tell someone about the map and the gold, they just laughed at him and told him his dad was crazy. So even though he now also thought his dad was crazy, he kept the map and papers just in case. Well, he got married and had a son. That was my new friend John. But he tragically died at the age of 29. Then the map and papers and the story were passed down to John. John had only heard the story from his dad when he was very young. He thought it was a great story, but he didn't really believe it. He dreamed that maybe it could somehow be true, but just didn't have enough belief to ever go investigate it. But he held on to those papers nevertheless. Then just about a year ago, his historian tracked John down. He was doing a piece of history on Virginia City, and he had this very old photograph of a man that was thought to be John's grandfather. As John looked at the picture, he recognized that not only was it his grandfather, but he was standing in front of a shack that was built to cover up the mine. And above the door of the shack was the sign that read, Legacy. John was stunned. Legacy was the name of the mine on the claim. And on the top of the map, in very faded writing, it said, Map to Legacy. John was convinced after all this time that this really was real. He'd had this map of riches his whole life, but he just didn't believe. Now he was dying with no one left in his life until I showed up and became his new friend. Now I have the map and the ownership. And what I need now is your help and your part of the money to finance the adventure. And we're off to get our treasure. Are you in? Okay, so what's the determining factor of you putting up your money and coming with me? It's belief. Do you believe the story and do you believe me? Now, if you believe, you won't be able to stop thinking about it. You won't sleep. You'll keep asking me more and more questions. You'll want to confirm the story for yourself, right? You'll want to see the map. You'll want to see the claim papers and the land deed. You'll ask me to meet John if he's still alive. You'll want to seek out an expert in old paper to see if the date the map was written can be substantiated. You'll want to call somebody at the state of Montana and make sure the land deed is good and the claim is still good, wouldn't you? If you believed me, you'd do anything to be my partner in this mine. You'd come up with the money somehow. You'd sell your car, your house. And if you didn't have it, you'd beg a friend or relative to lend it to you. You'd even cut them in on the deal. You would exhaust every single possible way to make it happen if you believed. You know you would, and I would too. So let's go back to the original question. Why aren't we seeking God's wisdom with everything we have? It can only be one thing. We don't believe. If we truly believed that seeking God's wisdom was better than any treasure map, any sunken ship or gold mine, we'd become obsessed with seeking God's wisdom. So let's take a few minutes and see if we can increase our belief in that area. And yes, if you're going to be a king, you have to get wisdom. So let's start with King Solomon, the wisest and wealthiest man ever. In the book of 1 Kings 3, God appears to Solomon in a dream, and he asks him what he could do for him. Solomon asked for wisdom in order to rule this great nation that God had made him ruler over. And God was so impressed that he asked for wisdom and not wealth for himself or fame, that God made him more wealthy and famous than anyone. So along with being the wisest man ever to live, ever. Now, here's the great news. It wasn't just for King Solomon. The promise is for us also. If we'll seek God's wisdom first, then just like with King Solomon, the riches and honor will follow. Look at what King Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, starting verse 13. Joyful is a person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in your right hand and riches and honor in your left. She will guide you down delightful paths, and her paths are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. So there you have it, right from King Solomon. Now, when you do your own dive into wisdom and you start reading 100-plus Bible verses that talk about wisdom and how to be wise, you begin to realize that there's no way that you'll seek wisdom with everything that you have and not become wealthy and highly honored in the process. This is just how it happens. It's not just how it happened for King Solomon. It's part of God's pattern and a plan. God wants you to have desires in your heart if those desires glorify God. Now, Romans 11:36 says this, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory." So here's my belief, kings. If you have it in your heart to be wealthy and have influence in order to use it to make a difference in what's important to God, and you seek, you ask, and you knock with everything you have, God will give it to you. and along with so much more than you could ever, ever imagine. Matthew 6:33 says this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be given to you." And I believe what God can get through you, he'll get to you. You can't outgive God. If you prove to him that you can be trusted and you do the right things with your money, it's just a matter of time when your blessings and unprecedented favor show up. Now, our job is to believe, and it's God's job to do the impossible, the supernatural. So what is wisdom? Well, Isaiah 11:2 tells us this. Wisdom is a spirit. It's one of the seven spirits or attributes of the Spirit that make up the completeness of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." These are the seven spirits which are talked about four times, I believe, in the book of Revelations. So when you're seeking wisdom, you're seeking more of God, more of the Holy Spirit, more of how God operates. The best short answer I've heard on what is wisdom is this. Wisdom is bringing God's way of thinking to your situation. So how do we get it? You ask, you seek, you knock, and you never stop, because wisdom never stops. It's limitless. Now, I'm not saying that God will give you as much wealth and fame as King Solomon, but he will make you a king. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to join a group of wealthy men on a yacht trip off the coast of Florida. This group was called Billionaire Kingdom Builders. My pastor, Keith Kraft, was invited to join them in order to teach them on how God intends kings and priests to function in the kingdom. And as one of Pastor Keith's kings, I was invited to come along. On the second day, we docked at Sebastian, Florida, in order to see the Mel Fisher Museum. Mel Fisher was a treasure hunter, sunken treasures, actually. And this museum was the result of the largest treasure find in history. Mel Fisher and his family found the sunken Spanish ship named the Atocha. Its treasure was valued at almost $500 million. And that's in 1985 dollars. It's an amazing story of dreams and perseverance. For 15 years, Mel was completely focused, completely dedicated, completely consumed by the goal of finding the sunken treasure. Every single day, he told his family and crew, "Today's the day." Even after the tragedy of losing his son, daughter-in-law, and a member of his crew due to one of their boats sinking, he kept pressing on with constant faith and belief that he would find his treasure. And after 15 years, it happened. Mel and his team found the Atocha and their treasure that had been laid hidden for more than 360 years. It's a fantastic story. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. What if Mel Fisher believed God's word about seeking wisdom as much as he believed in the sunken ship? Now, nothing against Mel, I'm just using him as an example. But what if he had spent the same driving passion to seek God's wisdom as he did to seek his treasure? So Mel's treasure was worth about $500 million, mostly in gold. Now, according to God's word that we've already read, what would that dedication to seek wisdom be worth? What riches would it produce? What honor would it bring? So tell me, why aren't you seeking wisdom with everything you've got?
It's been an honor for me to share with you today, and I'm so glad that you've chosen to listen. I pray that what you've heard on this podcast so resonates with you that it changes how you think about your calling in God's kingdom. I believe God will bless you, elevate you, increase your territory and measure of rule, and fill your life with blessings, joy, and abundance, so we can advance God's kingdom together.